Welcome to the Crew 3 podcast. What's wrecking with you as always are my co-hosts Chris and Ricky. Gentlemen, say hello.
Hey.
What up?
All right, we got a big exciting episode to talk about. We're going to go all over the exciting news for the Pioneer Band. Let's get away from my cowboy hat and dinosaur egg. let's jump right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
And that's it. It's a great episode, right? One of our best. All right, all jokes aside, we're going to talk about the Pioneer Band List, kind of our thoughts on the general philosophy of what went down. Then we're going to talk about, I don't know, actually happy and exciting news, being the Gen stuff discussed at Gen Con, and of course, we'll turn to Nostra Ricky for the Morrow teaser to see if he can once again predict every single card as it will be printed in the set. And maybe Chris will mute his microphone while he eats.
Maybe.
So real quick, I mean, look, obviously, ban list goes out, preordained unbanned in Modern, my desire unbanned in Legacy, and that's it. So, I mean...
Giant growth unbanned in Pioneer.
Ruckman, what about the Pioneer? What happened in Pioneer, though? You didn't tell us anything about Pioneer.
Yeah, well, there was nothing. I mean, you know, they gave us a very handy paragraph. It was a well-written paragraph by Carmen Handy, so no fault to her for this announcement. The Pioneer metagame continues to have widespread of play. Actually, before I read this, before we get to the nitty and gritty, overall, like initial reactions, what do you think? So, I mean, obviously, I put on Twitter kind of reiterating that, you know, I jokingly said this was the worst outcome. I don't necessarily think this is the worst outcome. I think this is the most boring outcome. This is the safest outcome. And when you hype up that every year now we're going to have this big ban list and that after every major set release, we're going to have a little peer we can come in and make extra ban lists. I think we all, not just content creators, but everyone in general, assumed big action every format. The time is now. Now, I never thought they were going to ban Lord of the Rings cards, but they definitely didn't.
Right.
But, you know, oh no, the dinosaur egg. Oh no, the set dressing. They have since clarified. So I think, in my opinion, the biggest issue with today's BNR announcement is, once again, Wizards' inability to tamper and control expectation. Because now they've since clarified that the big yearly ban updates are more in mind for Standard, and then the in-between post-set releases, they are going to be more willing to, and I expect will be more often not, when they take action on the other formats, right? So I feel like if that would have been stressed when they first announced the new, hey, we have a once-a-year ban list, and then we have this emergency ban window, and instead said, those are only emergency bans for Standard. Those are going to be normal ban list updates for every other format. So I think people would have been a lot more lax heading into this and a lot less disappointed in this announcement. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think no, go ahead, Ricky. You want to show
go
now?
Ahead. Go ahead.
I think you nailed the point on communication where it's, you know, I don't think that Pioneer was a doomsday. Like, maybe it was a little bit stale, but we have a lot to look forward to coming up. But it's kind of like you said, I did feel like a great time to kind of correct some lingering mistakes in the format, namely Karn, right? War of the Spark was a pretty terrible set. Most of the Planeswalkers from there need to be taken care of. And it felt like they were going to, you know, hey, switch some things up just because they could, right? It seemed like the new philosophy going forward. It was weird to talk about Standard and then not make any moves in the Standard, right? They only made moves in Modern and Legacy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it feels like they were a little bit backpedaling due to, like, the poor response to the ban list because it was pretty bad. Like, most people were expecting something to happen. We got a ton of engagement on Discord because of the expected reaction and what didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I thought Pioneer was fine, right? Ultimately, there were just a couple cards that I thought were a little bit too egregious that could have opened up the format more and would have gotten people more interested, right? If you make a couple bans and get public sentiment on your time, just like they did with Inverter, right? They had this whole article with Inverter that said, oh, we don't think anything needs to happen, but you guys do. So we're going to check out Inverter and all the combo cards while we're at it. And even though that ban didn't make a ton of sense, we were still happy. Mm-hmm. It did take care of one of the problems. The other ones were like, well, hey, if you took care of one problem, it's fine if you think there's other guns that be problems, right? We got the main one solved. So
yeah,
it was kind of, it's just very weird in that context where it felt like people wanted to shake up.
It's really funny to hear them like mention that, like the, in like on Twitter, Watsy staff, I forget who it was, but like was on Twitter listing what they take into consideration with bans. And the first thing they said was community reaction to cards. So right. I don't know how you say you listen to community reaction and then...
The commander community reaction.
Yes.
Right. No, that's what it is. There's no actual Pioneer community in, according to Wizards of the Coast. No one's ever played the format. They just kind of like laugh about it, right? Yeah. Like they just like...
Every reaction was just like, I mean, like, yeah, I would have been fine keeping Fable, but like, you could have at least hit Karn. I think the only people happy about nothing being done were the people who play mono green and then misplace Ginger.
Right. Right. The mono green players for sure. Yeah. I mean, again, I think I pretty succinctly put it there, but that's kind of how I feel about it. It's very weird. It's very, very weird. Right. I think people wanted to see some action. I would have liked to see some action, even though I think Pioneer is fine, just to get some people jazzed about the format and take care of some wrong problems.
An article come out today of like how to play mono green without Karn. That was definitely written assuming like literal everybody else that Karn was gone. I think it's kind of tone deaf. Like, I don't think it's bad that there's no bans. I think it's fine. Nothing's really egregious, right?
But no, like,
deaf to like I the said, nth degree.
Yeah. I think Cedric brought great points. And I mean, I agree with Cedric. Like, I don't think the format is like horribly unbalanced. I just think like the cards we've talked about have been problem cards in the format for a while now. Just the card is a problem, and then the ubiquity of how a powerful card like Fable, everything else is fine. Like, and I also like his point about just like, man, everyone really shut up about the play draw being a problem in Pioneer, right? Like, how quickly that just become a non-problem. But like we'll see. I mean, you know, we have Eldraine coming out. We haven't really seen cards from Eldraine, but like, unless Eldraine is a real retread of Eldraine, I'm not like huffing the copium that Eldraine is going to fix a lot of things, right? So, I mean, I think we're looking more towards October 6th and whenever the post Ixalan release BNR update is, if action does deem to happen before the next RCs, right?
I just think that they're fine with letting Pioneer just keep playing, which I guess is fine, right? I don't think that, you know, it's a real shame because there are people who work for Wizards of the Coast who used to be really big Pioneer players, right? Yeah. But, like, I just feel like, you know, this whole banned list, it's just like, why announce it? Why make such a big deal? That's, like, my real problem. The only real problem I have is that they made sure that everyone knew that, like, hey, it's coming. Right.
Yeah.
The ban list is coming. Right. And it's going to be bad. They're like, this is once a year now.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I honestly think I almost would have preferred an overcorrection that gets walked back in a month in like October. Dude, right.
I it's just like, it's so nothing. It's such a nothing announcement.
Yeah.
Like unbanning Preordain and Modern. Who cares?
Everyone. Yeah. I mean, well,
is better.
Ricky Defiant and setting down the gauntlet. Consider is better.
Like in every way in Modern, like everything cares about the graveyard so much. It's way better to just consider cards to your graveyard so you can breach.
And
right.
Then I've seen one person talk about how they're just tearing up Legacy leagues already with Mind's Desire. They're waiting for the showcase.
I don't know enough about Legacy to know if Mind's Desire is a good card. I know that I've played with it before and it was insane. Mm-hmm. I just think that like the whole announcement is just sort of nothing. And it was just sort of like, oh no, we announced it. We gotta do something. Let's tell them that a bad common is playable again in Modern. I really feel like the announcement could have been like, Terramorphic Expanse is now going to be added to Pioneer. Like, that's the kind of level that I thought that this ban list was.
We banned Preordained because Twin and Storm were too good.
Right.
I did cackle for about 2 minutes straight when reading the section on like how they felt about Modern Horizons 2 cards, where they were like, Modern Horizons 2 was about adding interaction to Pioneer.
Right.
And I was certainly a lot of interaction. Pioneer. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, like, besides.
You said adding interaction to Pioneer.
Modern.
Right.
Yeah.
I like how they're just like, besides, ever since Bowmasters, Ragavan really just doesn't even see any play. Yeah. So was Modern Horizons really that good? And I'm just like, you know, it doesn't matter what the Modern announcements were. I don't care about them, right? They could have banned half the format because it doesn't matter because they're going to ban half the format next June anyways when Modern Horizons 3 comes out.
Right.
Well,
right.
Don't spoilers for future segments, Ricky.
It's a rotating format of Modern. Yeah. Like, it now rotates faster than Standard, which is kind of funny.
Every year.
It now will rotate faster than Standard.
Even faster, because there's something we need to talk about when we get to Gen Con announcements.
Yeah. But I think that all in all, the band announcements, like, right, like, it's just, why did you ever think that Wizards cared?
Yeah.
Boom. Just say it, right?
Yeah.
But the format's going to be fine. Like, we've existed in this Mono Green added, like, Polkranos to the list. And it's not, like, that's not that good of a card. Like, I'm still on Polkranos's. Not amazing, right?
Sure.
It is another turn two play that gets three pips on the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's still just Karn doing Karn things.
Yeah.
That is really abusive in the deck. So I just think that we've adapted to it before. We'll adapt to it again.
Mm-hmm. Let's just real quickly just read what the wonderful Carmen Handy did write about it. The Pioneer metagame continues to have a widespread of play styles and archetypes representations from tournament. While there are known pillars in Mono Green, Devotion, Rakdos variants, and creature-centric aggro decks, their metagame shares rise and fall at a healthy clip. Recently, new versions of Lotus Field Control have gotten some extra attention, but its win rate and metagame share sit about where we'd expect any reasonable deck to fall, without a clear top dog or unreasonable archetype pushing other decks out. We've elected for no change at this time. Now, I will say, Carmen, wonderful paragraph there for Pioneer format. You forgot the creature-based tempo deck Spirits.
I'm assuming you're lumping
in with the creature-centric aggro decks. That's wrong.
Like every other sane adult would, you know?
No. Hold on.
All I'm saying is it's time for Phoenix to come back. Phoenix, yeah. With Thing in the Ice, to beat the Mono Green Menace back.
There we go.
Also, I like how it came out, I think, that preliminary that happened like a week or so ago that was like the one
that just had like
the seven Mono Green players, yeah.
And like three Rexxak.
And it was like, it came out recently that it's like, it was an 18-player event.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like five people are from the same Mono Green Discord.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah. And I will say, man, like,
Connorman was out there responding to those tweets with like, hey, here's what an actual 32 plus person event looked like. You know, like, right. Connorman was out there responding going like, hey, that's not an actual event. Like this half the field makeup was Mono Green, you know?
But look at the leagues.
Yeah.
No. So they responded with like another premier event from that same weekend, I think, that was like, hey, here's a top eight with four different decks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I forget what where in the Discord I said it, but I had the point of making where I was just like, man, like, speaking as someone who has played a lot of Mono Green as well, like, when I think of the three decks I've played a ton of in Pioneer the last like year or so, right? It's Mono Green, Spirits, Rakdos. Mono Green, the least fun out of all of them, because either I was throwing my opponent into the center of the earth, or I was doing ish all, and like those are real zero sum fun matches of just either I or my opponent are the most miserable person in the world, and the other person is having the most amount of fun. So like, I just don't think it's just that great from a like player standpoint of a deck.
Fair enough.
So all in all, the bans, fine.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll live another day.
Yeah,
we got excited that maybe Wizards of the Coast cared a little bit. They don't
realize
they played Pioneer.
That whoever writes their press releases writes at a fifth grade reading level.
Oh,
you know, because we have to use big words and a lot of exclamations. Now we have the best ban list. People ask us where we get these ban lists from.
I couldn't find the ban list for forever this morning.
The website died.
I could not navigate their website at all. It was terrible.
Because they hyped it up so much, everyone flooded the server.
Yeah, for nothing. And I was seeing so many fake ones and the real one that I assumed was also a fake one. And I'm like, okay, but what is your source? And people are like, Reddit. And I was like, all right, that's not real. Like, what?
Yeah.
I recommend Wizards of the Coast for making a ban list that is so bad that I could confuse it with a fake one.
unfortunately, I think we just have to cancel the, hey, does it slap your post Karn and Fable ban deck list? Or actually, you know what? Next week, let's still do it, but we'll just pretend they were banned. What would you play if Karn and Fable had been banned?
Right. Oh, man. Grease Fang. Full power.
Grease Fang, yeah.
All right, well.
What if we just woke up and it was just Grease Fang banned in Pioneer?
That was one of my, doomsdays, right?
Yeah. What would happen to Winota
as a card that dies to removal but can't be killed there?
What would have happened to one Nathaniel Anderson?
Oh, man. Stock would have dropped.
Yeah.
They would have become a modern player full time.
They would have rebought their Grand Archive cards.
Oh, man.
I'm excited for it. By the way, Grand Archive content coming up soon. Working on it. All right. Well, any other thoughts where we kind of talk about some of the fun stuff here to get people in a happier mood? Anyone? All right. Well, let's talk about Gen Con. We have 3 years of set release to talk about here. Starting things off. I do like that in their replay, their little review of the presentation.
The people who got trampled for Lorcana cards?
or the people who stole the $300,000 palette of cards that has been confirmed to not be Lorcana? Yeah, the line starts at 6 p.m. for tomorrow's 10 a.m. opening for Lorcana.
Jeez.
Good. I mean, on playing Pioneer, right, they had their ban list announcement, and wow, Lorcana looks sweet, and I had to go, good luck finding product. He's like, well, I theoretically have a starter deck and a sealed pool saved for me for next week, and I said, good luck getting product.
Yeah, actually, One Path's Games is doing that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Let's talk about Gen Con here. I kind of have things organized by year they're going to come out, but I didn't want to point out on the redo stream that they kind of put up on YouTube of the presentation after Gen Con, a nice trimmed down version of the presentation if you want to go rewatch it. It started off by just saying one of their themes, what they hammered in on, was a continued commitment to Pioneer with a roadmap for Arena. So, I mean, keep dangling the carrot. Carrot's still there. She's there. She's head of Joe now.
This carrot is rotten at this point. This carrot has been sitting out there for so long. Nobody wants this carrot at this point. the carrot's not enough. Not enough to get us going anymore.
They quoted a plan to get to tournament level Pioneer.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. So starting off, obviously, here in about a month, Wildsville Drain will release with preview starting next Tuesday on the 15th, I believe is the date.
Exciting.
So, we'll be definitely breaking down all of those. They moved into Lost Caverns of Ixalan. They said it will be what is now called a backdrop set, where they are going and introducing new mechanical themes to a known plane. This is specifically not Ixalan 2 and not a retread of Ixalan themes, which is all right. I mean, Ixalan was just tribal anyway, so not really threads. Explore. Huh?
It had Explore. It had Raid.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a fun set.
I do like Explore. Bring Wild Growth Walker back.
No, man.
I will say it's kind of interesting that Ixalan 2, or sorry, Lost Caverns, they've specifically said start off as a set not set on Ixalan. So I'm expecting a lot of disconnect there because of that. And then also you get they're adding special guest cards for them now able to reprint collector wanted cards as list and collector booster exclusive reprints. So instead of doing the retreads, the artifact only slot, the spell slot, or the upcoming enchantment slot. Now they're just going to be as list and collector only cards. This first one will be a Universes Beyond collab with Jurassic World, hence my little dinosaur egg for the video viewers at home. So that's kind of it for Ixalan there. Shadows of Over Innistrad Remastered is currently the last planned rematch set for Arena. And the end of this year, we'll see the release of Khans of Tarkir on Arena. However, it is not a remaster. It is only Khans of Tarkir.
Only Khans?
Only Khans.
No Fate?
As far as they have said, it is only Khans.
Weird. Why?
I don't know. Granted, I mean, like, there's what, like five cards you need from the other two sets, honestly?
What do you need from Khans? Fetch lands!
All the delve spells?
Oh, yeah. Two of them.
Oh, you need Hooting Mandrels in Gurmag Angler.
Yeah. I thought Hooting Mandrels was later. Yeah.
Oh, Gurmag is the next set.
We need the Blowfish is later.
Yeah, huh.
Do we get Sorry, Treasure Neil, Cruise? Probably. We get Treasure Cruise. We get Dig.
Dig, yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't get... Coco? Is Coco Khans?
Coco is from Dragons, but we already have
Coco's it. Dragons, yeah, yeah, we do have
it. We have Coco. We released that earlier anyway, so...
Yeah, Hard Skills is from Jumpstart anyway, so... it is just going to be Khans, though. Right. So, I mean, who wants to draft Rhinos?
Chris wants to draft Rhinos.
Yeah.
I guess we get Stubby D. We get Stubby D up in the house.
Stubby D, yeah. We get all of the Morph cards.
The Morph cards. My favorite Pioneer deck.
My favorite draft archetype.
Yeah.
All right. And then moving to 2024, we get Ravnica Remastered as a physical set release. This is Pioneer relevant because we're going to get retro frame cards like Shock Lands and Arclight Phoenix with the little gravestone in the corner.
I'm unbelievably excited. I feel duped that I bought the chickens already all foil.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna need the full old border foils with the little tombstone.
And the star.
Yeah, I'm gonna need those too.
Rest in peace to my wallet. All these products have gone by and I've been like, psh, and here's finally one for the Chris and Ricky Cricky, the Cricky combo, if you will.
I'm just saying, like, it's about darn time.
Yeah. It's true.
Which is not to be confused with a certain female singer who is currently
facing allegations. I mean, next year, I mean, 2025, Ricky, I have to say the draft fund is going to be hyped the next couple of years. It's Ravnica, and then in 2025, it'll be Innistrad Remastered.
In 2025, they're going to do Innistrad Remastered? Sure.
Yeah.
Not as hype.
Yeah.
Cool.
Moving on from that, we will have Murders at Karlov Manor. This is another backdrop set. Huh?
It's a Hearthstone set.
Yeah, what? Look, Mean Streets paid off for us, right?
They finally just were like, heck it, right?
Yeah.
We don't need to introduce... Why are we introducing, like, a whole world every set? How about just a thing? How about just the murder at whatever manor? How about One Night in Karasand or whatever, right?
Yeah. So this is a top-down murder mystery themed, not focused on the guilds, and they've said the set will feature puzzles and mysteries built into the game.
Everybody bring your Rubik's Cube to all your Magic tournaments from now on.
Bring your little manila envelope to fit three cards in.
Right, right.
You're in the bathroom with some tissues.
Yeah. However, I will say from the key art, I mean, it was Massacre Girl, right?
It was definitely Massacre Girl.
Massacre Girl is one of the people at the party. Like,
also Krenko is one of them too.
It was very obviously Massacre Girl.
And then next up we have Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
I'm so excited. Get
ready for Cowboys versus Dragons. The set is going to feature a lot of magic villains, they've said.
Rakdos, though, is not a villain.
He's a hero. We all know Rakdos is a hero.
Rakdos has been the hero in every single real plot line on Ravnica.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to get Vraska back. The current theory is also we're going to get Tiny Bones.
Jace. In there.
Maybe Jace. Maybe someone Oko. New. And then we have... Oko's confirmed back. And then we have the new unnamed Native American looking character who looks pretty dope.
Yeah. I'm just excited for a Western set. I've wanted a Western set forever.
Outlaws of Thunder Junction, I am super in for. Following Outlaws of Thunder Junction, we get Modern Horizon 3, which is coming to Arena, but they've said that doesn't mean Modern is going to be on Arena. We can barely give you Pioneer.
They haven't given us Pioneer. They haven't given us Pioneer.
Honestly, it might be easier to give us Modern at this point because Modern only needs like two sets.
Right. Give us some fetch lands and the Modern Horizon sets. You're good to go.
Jeez.
The end of 2023 or end of 2024 will also be see the release on Arena of Pioneer Masters. No word on a paper release. I don't think we're gonna get a paper release for this, which will put us to the point of Tournament Pioneer on Arena. So they've said that effectively once this set comes out at the end of 2024, Arena will be at tournament parity. So while your favorite pet cards might not be on it, all the cards needed to play like meta decks and some of like the fringe strategies will be on Arena at that time.
I'm just gonna say it right now.
Yeah.
Joe Biden also told me that my student loans were getting resolved. That's about how much I believe that we're gonna get Pioneer.
Remember when we were getting Pioneer Masters like 3 years ago after Kaladesh Remastered?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Then, let's see here. Oh, also following up Modern Horizons 3, we get to now introduce the new, look, you know, Doctor Who, we're getting collector boosted those commander decks, but don't worry. And we know we inundated with product with all of Lord of the Rings stuff coming out, but in 2024... we're going to get Assassin's Creed in Beyond Boosters, which are non-draftable booster packs containing Beyond cards, Universe Beyond cards, that are legal in all Eternal formats and Modern. So now we're having multiple direct-to-Modern reprint sets a year, baby.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, the format, like, it just, if you watched the Pro Tour, Game 4 was hype enough for the whole event, right? Game 4 was really, really cool. Man, other than that, You really have to be like Modern gets directly input to your veins to have thought that like, oh, this is a healthy format, you know?
I did just love just the wow, Modern Horizons has really helped how interactive and long games of Modern are. They're so long and interactive, like watches finals and it's just like, oh, is that turn three? Is that a Karn? Okay, we're packing it up. Oh, is that turn three? Is that an Ulamog on the scam player side?
Ulamog, right. From Doctor Woodwalker? Yeah, right.
Is that turn one? Is that a 4/4 double striker on turn one? All right, we're packing it up, right? Like, it was just like the games were over.
If they drew the one ring, if they didn't have any cards in hand because they got griefed four times, but if they were going to top deck the one ring, that gives them protection from everything. And then they could have potentially survived one
and
turn.
Then we get a whole another turn. That's like, we get a whole other turn. That's like, an extra 20% of the game.
Yeah, basically.
All right. Then at the end of 2024, we're also going to get Bloomburrow, which is our definitely not Redwall the Magic set, where creatures are at scale with their actual animals. I'm excited for this set. Wow. Having read a lot of Redwall, they're going to give me if this doesn't have a collab with Redwall, give me my PBS sponsor, give me my Matthias card, right? Like,
is Redwall the mouse show?
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, memory unlocked on that one. I was trying to figure out what you were talking about, and then I was like, you said PBS, and I was like, wasn't that a little mouse show where there are little mouseketeers?
Yeah.
So there was a poll recently, like after Gen Con, right, of like, what is the most hyped release, right? And I will share the results with you, right?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Eldraine had the lowest at 9%.
Wow.
Thunder Junction... or Modern Horizons 3 had like the second lowest at 10%.
Good.
Thunder Junction had 26%.
Good. I mean, Thunder Junction's hype.
Bloom, whatever it's called.
Bloomburrow.
33%, the most hyped set.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're at Gen Con and board game players love Everdell. And this is also just kind of Everdell, the magic set.
It's also like, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Disney's getting into the card game, so why not make a mouse-based set? I'm just saying, I noticed these things, you know?
Right.
You can't fool me.
Steamboat Willie comes off of copyright this year or something.
No, you think it does.
What you don't know, and also underestimated, just like a certain Florida governor, is that that Disney doubled their legal team this year to help fight the public domainification of Steamboat Willie and Mickey Mouse.
Oh, dang. Well, there goes all my winter plans.
Yeah.
We were going to make the Winnie the Pooh horror movie again, but with Mickey Mouse.
Well, speaking of horror movies, we have Duskmourn at the very end of 2024, which will be a top-down modern horror theme set where the plane is just one big bad spooky house.
So I'm worried.
Wait, didn't you just tell me that this was like the murder at Karlov Manor?
No. That's the beginning of 2024.
Oh.
And then the end of the year is Duskmourn, which is a modern horror theme set.
Like, hopefully it's only legal in modern, or...
No. It's themed after modern horror movies.
Horror is not a good term, because are we talking, like, Ari Aster? Are we talking Midsummer Cards? Like, I don't know about that.
Current modern format, guys.
The couple of images they've shown...
is modern horror.
Yes. But they've shown off, I mean, like, the big moth doorway thing feels kind of Stranger Things, right? And then they got the guy who has the ghost detector from Ghostbusters wearing like definitely 80s clothes. So, I mean, I think that's what we're talking here. We're talking modern horror.
Okay, fair enough.
So like slashers?
It's going to be everything, Ricky. It's Texas modern Chainsaw horror.
Massacre?
Ricky, nothing scarier.
Horror.
Danny DeVito?
Nicholas
Cage. In
the
Haunted Mansion? Nicholas Cage is in Dead by Daylight now.
He is.
Nothing scarier than Flesh Taker. Okay, that card haunts my dreams.
Ooh, Flesh Taker.
Is that the guy who... makes you sack a creature?
It is.
We sent them out to all the patrons because it was a funny thing. It was one of the better themes that we've had.
Yeah, we sent them out with a little bit of Blood for the Blood God paint on them.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then we move on to 2025, where 2025 is less detailed info because this is just kind of what the themes are. We don't know what the names are. We just kind of have their test set names, but I think the themes are kind of fun to talk about. So we get Tennis, which is our interplanar death race.
Can I say real quick before we get into these?
Sure.
Why is the theme of the code names just white people sports?
You know, I wish I could tell you, Ricky. Let's look at the demographic of Wizards of the Coast.
I was just saying, like, that's when I was, like, going through these with my brother, that's what he pointed out immediately. And I was like, you know what? I don't know.
But like, I guarantee when you say that, right, like, now also it makes sense because that's definitely shortened from Ultimate Frisbee, right?
Yeah, Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah. That's Return to Tarkir, which they have said is going to be kind of a combo of cons and dragons.
Sure.
So Fate Reforged?
Uh-huh.
Gosh forbid that we have any kind of, like, extended block. Because, like, that's another rant that I could go on is, like, I would have more faith if we had longer blocks such that mechanics were going to be introduced and have enough synergy to make a new deck, right?
No, like, you gotta wait for the wheel to come back around and then do it again when you hit Eldraine 57, you know?
Yeah, it's a block every decade. And then they don't revisit those mechanics. And it's like, well, how do new decks form? Unless a card's so powerful you build a deck around it, right? Then you're just adding the most powerful cards to already existing decks with whatever themes they
have. Chris, how absolutely foolish of you to think anything like that, because it works for Hearthstone. Hearthstone releases sets that are completely devoid of any attachment and love and joy, and that's the best game ever. We need to be Hearthstone, so we're going to be Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone has a 10-year history versus a 30-year history, but I hear you. I was very stupid of me. I'll take 10 lashes right now.
I did recently re-download Hearthstone because, I mean, since that's the way we're going anyways.
I know. Hearthstone, you're coming online as I'm playing World of Warcraft. So
Hearthstone has added planeswalkers to Hearthstone.
Good. I mean, I'm going to have to edit in the clip of Tim Curry because our next set, Volleyball, is taking Magic where not even capitalism can reach it. Space!
That's the unset, right?
No, it's not. It's a space opera. It's not Space Carnival.
We've already done the space set.
This is serious space, though, Ricky.
I will have you know that Unfinity finally validated all those hours I spent throwing Magic cards across the room.
Yeah.
I am undefeated at all the cards that have you try to throw Magic cards. I was a god.
Now, can you get them stuck in the ceiling tiles?
Yes.
Good, good. All right. After Magic in Space, we get to go to wrestling, which I do want to point out that Mark Rosewater didn't bring up the fact that he has a losing record in C3W and talk about the wrestling set.
Right.
But I do want to point, I think the fact that the set is called is testing wrestling. There are definitely some Crew 3 fans over there. And I expect
there to be at least one Crew 3 card, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I do expect that in Lorwyn, that's when we're going to be back in the good graces. We're going to be back on top, baby. Crew 3 is back.
I do need to start praising our great Wizards Overlords in time for Ravnica Remastered.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a quick $4,000 in product and
yeah, Chris tell is me who, to find a way onto the ambassador program.
Yeah, I need to turn my tune around. Isn't real quick here and start praising people.
Yeah, a spot did just open up, buddy. Now's your chance.
Yeah. What a wild one. It sounds like I'm gonna tell you that just based on that deal, purely speculation, it sounds like because that particular person was doing playing some other games, it sounds like it's pretty restrictive on maybe what you can play on stream.
Yeah, this is all speculation, of course.
Yeah, although, all speculation.
Welcome to the speculation corner.
This is going to be Return to Lorwyn, and they said it's going to get a big revamp like Neon Dynasties of Kamigawa. So, I mean, Rick, you're the Lorwyn guy. What are your thoughts?
I don't think we can go back to Lorwyn.
Really?
Yeah, the story's kind of done.
The story fixes, like, at the end of it, it flips day and night.
Yeah, but Kamigawa is also done.
And I don't want day and night. I don't want day and night to come back ever.
Well, didn't the Great Aurora like end though?
No, it just it's Lorwyn's now on a regular 24-hour cycle.
Oh, okay.
Or however many cycles, we don't discriminate on how many hours your daytime is and you're playing.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Right. I mean, look, Kamigawa was done, and they didn't give us any more Bushido cards. So I mean, let's give a shot.
I don't want future Lorwyn, and I don't want day and night to come back.
Okay. All right. There's a day and night. And our last set we know about, two more. Yachting. And our Sun Slicker Yakets.
Will Yachting?
That's right. He's been to Houston. And then that's the Return to Arcavios. So we're going back to Strixhaven. For everyone who doesn't know that Strixhaven takes place on Arcavios.
I didn't.
Going back to Yale for the rowing sport.
That's right. And then, of course, we get Ziplining, which is the finale of the Elven Pass cycle, which is, of course, another War of the Spark, March of the Machines style set that will end the current 3-year plan of Magic. We do have Mara's Teaser for Wilds of Eldraine to kind of round things off here this week.
All right, I've got this.
Okay, start us off here.
All right, first up, some things you can expect. A new type of token, at least done as a cohesive theme. We're going to see an enchantment token, like a enchantment token that's kind of like synonymous with the set. It's like a mechanic that you generate a bunch of enchantments. Huh?
My call on that one is a song token, or a verse token.
There's verse counters. Verse counters
on the other one, because I'm not as good as you. I'm just throwing something in here, you know?
Very good. A card that can activate to copy enchantments.
That answered the first question. F this. I go back on my word. Card that can activate to copy enchantments. Yeah, there's going to be an enchantment token then.
All right. But also, we've already seen this card. Mirage Mirror can do this. Mirror Maid does this. A lot of cards can activate to copy enchantments, actually. So, not very exciting there. Adventures on a new permanent type. Okay, so we've seen them on creatures, and then we saw them on artifacts in Baldur's Gate. We can't see them on planeswalkers. It doesn't really make sense to put them on lands. So, I mean, I don't expect adventures on battles because that would just – how would you format that, right?
Sure, yeah.
So adventures are going to be on enchantments, real simple.
I think it is going to be on lands. I think we saw Saga lands. I think Wizards went, wow, Modern Horizons 2, only the most brilliant geniuses work on that set. You know, this set's a huge lands. Success. Everybody loves it.
We're going to consider Sagas on adventures.
Adventure lands.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say they're gonna be adventure enchantments, but
okay,
sounds good.
Each their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
An artifact that has two different artifact subtypes normally associated with artifact tokens. Food clue.
Sick. Yeah. We've already seen food, right?
Food is a known thing, and like, I'm thinking about I know we already had a card trail of breadcrumbs, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that kind of idea of like leaving food to mark a trail, right? or, you know, like a half-eaten biscuit or whatever.
It's better than my idea of blood food.
Blood food, yeah.
Blood food is wild. But the set does not look that dark yet. I think Food Clue is going to be, you know, what we're looking at.
Yeah.
But it could be food equipment.
Okay.
But artifact tokens normally associated, so yeah, probably not food equipment. I like the idea of food equipment, though. But, you know. A creature type from Alpha gets a draft archetype.
Easy.
This makes me upset because Brushwag was from Mirage.
Right, right.
I mean, Minotaurs. Like,
I think Minotaurs is the answer.
Minotaurs?
Yeah, I think Minotaurs is the answer.
I don't think there are Minotaurs.
Minotaurs aren't very fairy tale, though.
I'm thinking like giant. We've got like definitely ideas for knight, right? Like white knight, black knight. The thing is, it's got to be. It has to be
a new archetype, right?
Merfolk.
Merfolk, yeah.
Simply, no, I like knights. I mean, there was a lot of knights in original Eldraine. I'm still going Minotaurs.
Right, but when you think about, like, it's so stupid, but, like, if when you think about weird creatures from Alpha, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Merfolk of the Pearl Trident and Goblin King, right?
Sure.
Are the only two lords, right?
Or Master of the Pearl Trident.
Yeah, no.
Lord of Atlantis. Yeah.
And Merfolk of the Pearl Trident, Lord of Atlantis, and then Mons Goblin Raider, and, like, I just think it's got to be Merfolk.
Okay.
Fairy tale sagas. I mean, that's just, there it is, right?
Sure.
There's nothing to think about or guess there. That's what it's going to be.
Right.
It's freebie. It's your free bingo spot.
Yeah, exactly. Multiple legendary foods.
We already know one of them is the gingerbread woman from the trailer.
Right. This is just very funny. I don't know what, I mean, multiple legendary foods, that's what it is.
Another one of them is going to be the Simic Slaw, right?
The Simic Slaw. A new card with a lobotomy effect. I mean,
that's just a cranial extraction, right?
Lobotomy on a adventure, right?
Sure, yeah.
A creature with two triggers, one for artifacts entering and one for enchantments. Who cares?
Plus encounters.
We've seen that in Neo.
Yeah.
Neo was like, we want you to have artifacts, we want you to have enchantments. A new mechanic that batches together three items that have been in the game since Alpha, but never batched before. This is stupid. But cards that want you to have, like, an artifact, an enchantment, and a creature.
Uh-huh.
It's like party or metalcraft.
Or, like, we're going to see, like, artifact enchantment creatures, right? Like, something that is, like, all three types.
Sure.
I think we're going to see an artifact that picks up an enchantment to equip to a creature.
Enchantments that enchant artifacts to make them creatures. But we've
something
done
like that
before. Yeah. Rules text. If a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. Elesh Norn. Next. I've seen this one before. Look at the top 20 cards of your library.
That's a Planeswalker Ultimate, right?
No. Because there's only one Planeswalker in the set. We've already seen
it. That's going to be some big, dumb, stupid, like, 10-mana spell.
Mm.
I think it's going to, like, look at the top 20 cards of your library and, like, deal damage equal to the number of instant sorceries or cards with adventures.
And put 5 Karns into play.
No. I think you're gonna reveal a number of cards from the 20, and that's going to how much damage you deal.
Sure.
It produces 3 times as much that mana instead. I don't care. Boring. Anybody on this one? I mean, it's just like a...
It's going to be better than Nykthos.
Sure. Sacrifice all reflections you control. So that's going to be... there's a lot of enchantments. Like, not a lot. There's, like, 2 that care about reflections.
Yeah.
And always the reflections die very easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be like a... At the beginning of your turn, you make a reflection. If you don't have one... But there'll be an ability to also sacrifice your reflections so you can make new ones.
Would have been a cool time for Nico Aris to come back.
Huh. Creatures you control with 1/1 counters on them have all activated abilities of all creature cards exiled with card name. I mean, that right there.
That's what it does.
That's what it does.
That's what it do.
It's going to eat cards from your graveyard and put 1/1 counters on your creatures and then give them all those abilities.
Some big dumb green mythic probably.
have base power and toughness 4/4 and flying. This is the new Insole artifact. Exile up to one other non-fox creature. This is a fox that's going to blink your stuff, and it can't blink itself.
Right, sure.
Land creatures you control. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But probably bad.
You don't, I think it's an anthem, but I could be wrong.
I mean, we've seen like Sylvan Messenger is like the 2/3 vigilance for two that says your land creatures have +2/+2. And that card is not very good. It was good in standard, but not good anymore.
Yeah.
Whenever you tap an untapped creature an opponent controls is very funny.
How many jailers are going to be in this set?
Huh?
How many jailers are going to be in this set?
Right. I don't know. Like, just, I have no idea what you put this on or what you like. Draw a card. Whenever you tap an untapped creature, opponent controls, draw a card.
The player who plays like oppression in commander is like, yeah.
This ability only triggers once per turn. No!
Right.
It does not say whenever you tap creatures, right?
Yeah.
So, like, this, whatever this does is going to trigger for each creature when you cast sleep.
Oh, right? You know sleep, they're going to reprint sleep, right? In the set, like, they have to. Right.
Oof. X is 2 plus the number of cards in your graveyard that are instant cards, sorcery cards, and or have an adventure. We've seen this before. In Baldur's Gate, but in Baldur's Gate, it also counted your exiled ones because it let you count your cards that were on adventures. So, creature type mouse. It's going to be a blind mouse.
Oh, yeah.
That's not prediction. That's just
fact.
Spoilers to later on this list.
This is way too many types and names to go through all these, I think.
No, creature, we got it.
Creature, rabbit, all right, unicorn. All right. That's the jackalope.
Okay, jackalope.
Creature, fairy, shapeshifter. Yes, all of them are. Creature, elf, fox, knight. This is an elf riding on
a fox.
This is not in half elf, half fox.
Is that a? It's a reprint of what's the guy that cares about like Flash, right? When you play a non
wildborn observer.
Yeah,
that guy was just an elf knight though.
Yeah,
giant archer. Cool.
Yeah, nice.
Plant worm. I don't know, beanstalk worm? Elemental raccoon. Lutri 2. Legendary creature, rat noble.
It's with the Rat King.
Yeah, the Rat King. Legendary creature, Vidulkin Scout.
We've seen the art for this guy.
But why is there a Vidulkin here? So this
because
is
he followed an omen path.
Right. So who is this, right?
They're from we know the card name, I'm assuming, because we've seen the art for this guy. It was named at Gen Con. He's a Vidalkin from Ravnica.
Okay.
Who's like, I'm going on an adventure in all drinks. I followed an omen path.
So he's not like a, what's his face? Dovin Vaughn.
No.
Legendary creature, human warlock bard. Literally Pied Piper again. But now legendary one.
All right.
Candy Grapple is a fight spell with food. Charming Scoundrel is going to have 3 different abilities on an ETB, but it's going to be black.
Mm.
It's going to be Charming Prince, but black.
Okay.
Food Fight is going to let you sacrifice food to target and damage things of some form.
Okay.
Or it's going to animate all your food. That's actually probably funnier. Animates your food. Protective Parents is funny. I don't know what it does, but it's funny.
You sacrifice your parents and they gain your creature gain indestructible, right? Like,
yeah.
Harry Potter style?
Yeah. Scream Puff. It's a flying food creature.
With fire breathing?
Stroke of Midnight is going to end the turn.
Yeah.
Stroke of Midnight is going to end the turn and probably destroy enchantments.
Okay.
A Tale for the Ages is a saga.
Yeah.
Yep.
3 Blind Mice is also a saga. 3 bowls of porridge just
also
makes 3 food tokens.
Yeah, right.
Up the Beanstalk is going to let you play an extra land this turn.
Right.
Those are my predictions.
Well done. All right, clip it.
No Shiriki. No Shiriki's here. All right, well, of course, before we end things off, I do want to say thank you for supporting Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several tiers available, and we get questions from all of our lovely fans. We have several tiers available, but all of them give you access to our Patreon exclusive channels and Patreon mailbag, where every week we let a patron ask a question that sounds something like this. El Cappy 7, one of our longest run, longest tribe patrons, asks, if the U.S. states for Pioneer decks, what deck would they be? And they said, i.e. Texas is mono green.
I.e. what is mono green?
Texas is mono green.
Texas is not mono green.
No, Texas is not mono green.
Mono green is like Massachusetts.
There you
Freeze
go.
Freeze Fang is Ohio.
Wow.
I was going to go with Michigan. Where's our vehicle tie-in?
I guess Michigan.
Grease Fang is Michigan.
I was just thinking of something. Oh, Rogues is Ohio. Rogues is the Ohio of Pioneer decks, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of miserable to be there, but sometimes you're just dug in and you're stuck in Ohio.
Sure. Pennsylvania is Tempered Steel.
Right.
Tempered Steel is not even...
It's the foods deck. You got to make it the animation thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Texas is like five color, like Omnath.
Texas is Rakdosec. That's what Texas is.
Texas is Rak. Are you saying we're putting cats in ovens?
I'm not saying anything. It's hot though. It's hot outside. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Very fair. You know, Utah is kind of like Jell-O pudding, right?
I mean, I don't know what Florida is, but they definitely play like Toxic Deluge.
There you go. There you go.
One with nothing.
All the control players are from New York. Blue-White Control, Copium, New York City.
Okay.
Yeah, Blue-White Control is going to be, Blue-White Control is New York.
What's California?
California is mono-green.
Okay.
It's all the tech and crypto bros out in California trying to make the mono-green, baby.
What's Ponza?
That's not a deck in Pioneer. but
that's another one. Oh, boats.
Boats. Oh, boats is like Texas.
There
boats
you go. Texas.
Boats is the Mississippi River.
There you go.
Right. I like
that. Boats is Mississippi.
I don't think Mississippi controls the most of the Mississippi River.
It doesn't.
I think it's Louisiana.
Yeah. What's spirits?
What's the most haunted state?
Oh, that's
Virginia.
No.
Oh, it's got to be New Hampshire.
Sure. Yeah.
That's like got to be the most haunted state.
Yeah, let's look real quick.
Google, what's the most haunted
state? Where's Gettysburg?
Oh, Georgia. Yeah, okay. That's a good haunted place.
Yeah.
The most haunted places, those haunted states in Texas are...
States of Texas? No.
Sorry, it's California. Texas and California, the spooky states is what it says.
No, come on.
They're just the biggest. That's what's not the fair. Biggest.
Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois have about 2,000 spooky sightings a year.
Illinois.
Indiana, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, New York, and Virginia have about 1,000 to 2,000 sightings a year. And then if you want to avoid the spooks, the least spookiest, these play all the graveyard hate, Delaware and Puerto Rico.
Maine? Maine is mono-white humans?
There's a...
Or Massachusetts. Except for Boston.
You know, I take it back. Blue-White Control is from Roswell, New Mexico. Because they want to believe.
That's right.
they really want to believe.
I was going to say Blue-White Control is from the Hamptons, right? Specifically the Hamptons?
Oof.
What is Jersey? That's just Recto Scam, right?
Recto mid-range, yeah. All right. And then, like, I don't know, like...
Lotus Nevada. Field? What's Lotus Field?
That's got to be Nevada, right? Win big, roll the dice.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Good question.
It's about
good
what question. I got. Yeah, we do.
I'm out of states. I don't know anymore.
All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode. Like we said, look, Pioneer ban list, not the most exciting thing ever. Not the end of the world either. We will survive. And hey, we have another shot in October if you want to keep hitting the copium until then. But I'll be right along there with you. And hey, don't worry. The worst thing to do, though, is to just abandon the format. That is the worst option.
Correct.
So do not just pack things up and go home. Keep playing Pioneer Locals. Play online. Keep asking for Pioneer to come to Arena. Have some fun. We are going to start doing webcam events. I'm going to try to plan for our first one early September. Mm-hmm. So probably around the time Eldraine launches, we'll be back with like full proxy, everything like that. Be sure to, like I said, send in your this was what I was going to play if Karn and Fable got banned. Decklist for doesn't slap next week, so I think those will still be fun to look at, as I know a lot of you have decklist lined up for that. But we will, gentlemen, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me on the Zeters at zeets.com/its_Christmas/X_XXX.
That might be as real.
But yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve, and I'm streaming every Wednesday night now.
Cool. And you can find twitch.tv/crew3mtg. And then, of course, you can find me over at Crew3 Podcast, running our official podcast feed there and handling things over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/crew3mtg, where we post our video episodes usually every Monday. But because this podcast is going up early, I'll probably have the video version up probably Thursday. If you do want to watch the video version of this, it's available there over on the YouTube channel. And then we upload other random things. I'm going to start uploading Ricky's VODs from YouTube, from Twitch over to YouTube. And then I'm working on some Grand Archive content to go talk more about the game that's kind of got a lot of my focus right now. I've got an intro video I'm finishing the script for that should be out later this week, early next week. Then I'll probably do some sort of content talking about Ricky and myself playing at regionals next weekend. ASR Championship, yep. And then I'll probably just do some other random Grand Archive content between here and there. And then I will, of course, I'm working on a deck list chronicling my attempt to make it big at the Path of Silver, which, again, I'll talk more about in our Grand Archive content coming forward. And that video series won't be starting for a little bit, but keep an eye out for Deck Boxes and Tiaras when that does drop. So we will talk to you all next time. Thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye.